Well, it's great to see you back this week at the beginning of this new series, and we're going to take a look at this one element that Jesus used, which was earth or dirt, and how that can impact our understanding of what God might be doing in our life. And so why don't we pray and ask God to help us today. God, thank you for the opportunity to get off the highway of life and be able to sit in here and receive from you. And I know that you're going to give all of us something, but the question is whether or not we'll receive it, which is the point of that incredible teaching that Jesus gave about 2,000 years ago. And as I try to humbly talk about that, I feel like, you know, who am I to add anything to what Jesus said? As we just took a look at that video, it's kind of like it could just speak for itself because he taught better than I could. But as I try to add some clarity to what he said, I pray that you would bring clarity to all of us today. In the name of your son that I pray. Amen. One of the things that we do at Crossroads is we try to leverage every possible communication tool we can to make the message of God very, very clear. And so in our day, that means that we can use things like lights and videos and all that sort of thing. But this is really no different at all than what Jesus would use. Jesus didn't have electricity. They didn't have videos. But what he would do would use the highest tech and the most prevalent stuff that was around him while he was teaching to try to have an impact on people. And oftentimes he would just be sitting, talking with people, and he didn't even plan on launching into some sort of message, but it would just happen. And this sort of spontaneously happened one day while he was talking with his 12 closest friends, also known as the disciples. And then more and more people saw him talking. They all started gathering around him. And Jesus would look at what was happening around him, and he would bring out a teaching, or he'd bring out a lesson that everybody could learn. And the first thing that we're talking about this series is the lesson that he brought out about earth, or the lesson he brought out about dirt. People in that day would understand dirt and they would understand earth a little bit more than you and I would, because they lived in an agrarian culture where you and I live in a technological culture. And so I'm going to have to explain a little bit what Jesus and his friends saw and what he actually spoke about. In this agrarian culture, people are oftentimes planting things, and a little word of the wise man, want to cover your coffee. And he would see people just walking around and casting seeds on things that needed to be planted. And what these seeds are like, as I throw these to you, the reason I'm doing this is really not to annoy you. Believe it or not, I don't like annoying people. Here's why I'm doing this. Just like many of you can feel these seeds coming upon you, this is exactly what it's like when God gets involved in your life. You can feel his stuff coming upon you. And sometimes his truth, his insight comes to you in various ways. The primary seed that God really wants to bring to us is understand what it means to have a relationship with him. And what does it mean that Jesus was God's son? And that information, that seed that can come to us, hits us in numerous ways. But it's not just that. It's any information, any truth that God might have for us. Stuff as, how should I structure my life relationally? How should I operate with my family? How should I structure, you know, my schedule? How should I view this world? And all of this stuff operates as God's truth. Last person I knew was sitting, I don't even know you. I hope you still like me. And what just happened to us is what happens to us in reality. God is constantly bringing his seeds, his truth upon us to bear. And whether or not you grow spiritually, whether or not this information, God's truth, takes root in your life is entirely conditioned on the status of your soul, on the status of your spirit. You could have seed, the exact same kind of seed, the exact same weather conditions, and based on the content of the soil, it will solely impact whether or not it takes root and whether or not it produces a crop. You ever notice how people can hear the exact same thing but have a completely different reaction? And people would do this with Jesus. As Jesus was talking, the exact same people would hear the exact same thing at the exact same sitting but have an entirely different reaction. And the reason was because of the condition and the content of the person's heart. We saw this happen last week. Many of you might have, you know, noticed this from last week. We had some challenging things to say last week. And we had people who sat in the exact same service, heard the exact same thing, and had entirely different interpretations of what happened, what was said. Did you find that out with any of your conversations? You know, people had exact opposite takeaway home value and heard the exact opposite thing. Why is that? It's because none of us here are blank slates. We are all an amalgamation of our previous history that caused us to hear and interpret things differently. In the atrium, you'll notice there's a bunch of artwork out there. Some of our artists here at Crossroads are painting things of works of art that are significant for them and what God's doing in their life and how they understand the meaning of this series. And you might want to take a cruise as you go through that. One of the things that artists will often do is they'll take a picture, and if they want to recycle the frame and canvas, they'll paint back over it in white or gray or something like that. And it looks like it's a blank canvas, but it isn't, because oftentimes what will happen is when the new color comes upon that canvas, there will be some sort of chemical reaction for some reason with the colors behind it, and it will bleed through and change the shade of that color. And this is what happens in the spiritual world. This happens in our world. Nobody in here is a blank slate. Nobody. You might look blank. You might look like nobody has... Whatever. Yeah, you might look that way. But none of us are blank slates, because we all have unique hurts. We all have unique pains. We have all gotten various information from our past that we look at things differently. We've all had different experiences. And so no matter what is said in here, we'll all hear it and process differently, because none of us are blank slates. And all of us have a condition of our heart that causes us to react a certain way whenever we get information, specifically when God gives us information. This is why Jesus, when he would speak truth and he spoke this parable or this story, he ends it by saying this: "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, what is he saying? Is he saying, those of you who don't have ears, I don't care about? No, what he's saying is, there's people who have ears and there's people who listen. And he's saying, those of you who have ears, those of us who have ears and really want to grow and want to listen, then I invite you to listen and to grow. How many of us want to admit that we've been watching American Idol the last couple weeks? Anyone want to admit that? No? I have been watching it this year. I watched it a lot last year. My daughter was watching it the other day, so it kind of reminded me that it was on. You know, what's the favorite part of American Idol for you? Simon, no question about it. Simon's a favorite part of American Idol. I actually think it's very humorous. Some people get very offended by what Simon does and by what he says, by what Simon says. You know, they get very offended by that. I actually think it's pretty interesting that the person that is listening to Simon is getting what they think is new information. You know what I mean? You know, Simon basically says, "You're awful." It's like, "You're kidding. No one's ever told me that before." You know, brand new information. There's a whole self-awareness sermon in there right there, you know, in that whole thing. But what happens? No one has either told that person the truth about how bad they really are, or someone has told them and they've never assimilated it and they haven't believed it. And this is what happens when God gives us truth or God gives us information. Not all of us assimilate it. Not all of it, all of us want it to take root in our life. And so therefore, there's four types of people in this place today. Four of us, four types of people. Now, all of us are going to have something in common with all the four different sets of ears that we're going to talk about today. But there's four types of ears that hear. The first type of ear that hears in here can actually be seen in our little recreation of what was around at Jesus' time. And this is the traveled path hearer. This is the traveled path hearer. Jesus would see people walking up and down the paths, walking up and down the roads, and there would be seed that would fall on this path in addition to all these other ones we're going to talk about. And the traveled path hearer is the path and the place where most people are spiritually. The travel path hearer is the road most traveled. It's the beliefs most held. It's, you know, where you can watch CNN, MSNBC, Dr. Phil, whatever, and there's some good stuff that's always involved there, but it's kind of the spirituality of the day. And America has a spirituality of the day, and just like back in the first century, there's a spirituality of that day as well. And what happens is when God's truth falls upon those of us who just are in line with the spirituality of the day where everybody else is going, what happens is we are very hard to new ideas. We're very hardened to things that we didn't think of and that other people don't believe. This is the path where people go, and it means that the God's truth doesn't sink down inside of us. Here's what Jesus talks about this type of person. Travel path here, he says this. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So this information comes to those of us who are the travel path hearer, and before it can sink in, before it can take root, it really can't because we're really so hardened that the devil sends birds and they come and they pluck it and they take it away. We say, oh no, that can't be right. Oh no, I don't know anybody else who I respect who believes that. No, that can't be right. And it just comes and goes away. This is the traveled path here. Nothing of value from the real God ever really sinks in. It just stays on the surface. And then our doubts or our fears or our anger or whatever just causes it to go away and leave before it actually takes root in our life. The second type of hearer, this is my heaviest one here. Ugh. This is filled with rocks, like you see here, the whole way. It's filled with rocks. This is the soft crust hearer. This is the soft crust hearer. You saw on the video there was some seeds that were falling down on the rocks. That's a nice artistic representation of what was happening with the seed that was falling on the rocks. But that's really probably not what was happening. Because when a farmer would go out to sow seeds, you wouldn't want to waste your seeds on a place that was obviously rocky. And if there was rocks there, you would go down, you would pick them up, you'd get rid of them. What's happening most likely is in Palestine, very common, and all over the world really, right beneath the soft crust was solid rock. Right beneath the soft crust. And so here's how Jesus defines the soft crust hearer. Those on the rock are the ones that receive the word of God with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. This is probably, it's hard to say exactly, but I meet a lot of people around here that are soft crust hearers. Because what happens with the soft crust hearer, they always look good. They got a nice soft outer shell. Everything seems right with them. Everything's fine. And they really do receive things that are new to them. This is great. They really like this. It's actually very easy to be a soft crust hearer around here. Because this place is pretty easy, really. You come in, get free coffee, get free CDs, free video productions. You know, you go, okay, it's, you know, who's who in Cincinnati sometimes comes here. And you kind of, you know, it's just really cool. But you have to say, all right, when these seeds go in here, does it ever really sink in and take root? Does it ever permeate the totality of my life? See, the seed in this one, God's truth, it is in us, but it's not down in us. It's in, but not down. And our root system is not healthy because the rock is there and it keeps our roots from truly spreading. Have you ever been found out to be a phony? I have. And this is what happened to the soft crust here is sooner or later they're found out. Well, I was found out to be a phony not long ago when I went to have lunch over at La Salsa over in Hyde Park Plaza. I went over to La Salsa and I have just enough Spanish from high school to make me dangerous. You know what I'm saying? So I went up there and I decided to order and just kind of identify with the people who were working there. And I said, yes, I like chimichanga el pollo y salsa. That's what I like. And this person, I must have done a pretty good, you know, articulation of that specific dish in Spanish. And this person like launched back in this incredible, like clarifying conversation in Spanish that was as deep as the Rio Grande, you know. And I probably started with, you stupid yuppie, let me tell you something. I don't know what exactly to start with. But he just kind of went off like, oh, I said, I'm sorry. I don't speak Spanish. I was like, you're kidding. I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. So he had to go back and I had to articulate to me exactly what he was asking in English. This is what happens with those of us who are soft crust here. We know the language, but it's not really deep in us. We know just enough spiritual language. We have just enough God to look like we've got it together. We can say, well, God is love, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that's about as far as we can go. Because then you start saying, okay, God is love, but God's also wrath. So how does like wrath and love go to get one? We don't processed that because we don't want to process that because that doesn't feel good to us. Just God is love feels good to us. God is wrath and he actually gets angry. So the deep roots of who God really is and what that impacts in our life, it never seeps down inside of us. It's on the veneer. And sooner or later, the time of testing comes and we go away. This is what it says in the scripture. It says this. It says, those in the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy. When they hear it, they have no roots. They believe for a while and they fall away. As soon as the sun comes out and scorches, we go away. I've done this before when I've planted grass or some such thing. I hate doing yard work. Hate it. Hated it. Can't stand it. And so I always do the absolute minimum whenever I'm doing yard work. Just roughly scratch up the top and then throw seed on it. And the same thing always happens. It takes off. It looks really good because I fertilized from the top. It takes off. And then what happens? As soon as a mini drought comes or something like that comes, it withers and goes away. And this is what happens to those of us who are soft crust. We might even look green. Stuff's happening. But as soon as a time of testing comes, as soon as things aren't going the way we scripted our life, God, who do you think you're doing? Well, what is your deal, God? We get all mad at God. This is what happens with a soft crust hearer. The next person that Jesus addresses or tries to describe is the thorny issue hearer. The thorny issue hearer. This is the person who, they've got thorns all throughout their life. And these thorns keep God's truth from truly taking root and flourishing in their life. Here's how Jesus puts it. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. There's three things that thorns do to bum out our spiritual growth. First is they rob the soil of vital nutrients that the soil needs to grow. The second is the root system competes with the preferred plant system and chokes it out. And the third thing is that these things can grow so thick that they actually shade the sun from the plant and keep it from growing. And so what the thorny issue person is about is there is a certain set of untouchable issues, untouchable beliefs that we say, God, you can't go here. You can't talk about that. Or God, certainly you don't believe in that. And so the thorny issue hearer really wants to segment off their life to keep God from having overall pervading influence in their life. We'll kind of go like this. Well, first there's my work life, and then there's my family life, and there's my sexual life, and there's my financial life, and there's my athletic life, and all these other things, and there's my God life, my spiritual life. And so what we try to do is we try to carve out a plot for God. God, this is your plot. Okay, this is your plot. I'm going to do everything I can for you here on this plot. But no, this is not yours over here, God, because this work, no, I'll just kind of, even though someone's paying me, I'll just kind of work really bad. I don't really think that you believe that I should actually give my employer a full dollar's day wages. I'll just keep sending those cheese mails to all my friends on my own time, because, or on my work life, God, all these people who report to me, they're on my downline, they're my minions to do my bidding. And God says, no, those people are people who I've created in my image. They're not your minions. They're not raw meat to be managed. You're to value them, even though they're down in the organizational chart. Or, here's my sexual life. Okay, well, I know what feels good to me, and so therefore, God, you want me to feel good, so therefore what I'm doing sexually is good, because that's what I feel good, right? And so what we'll do is basically not just take God and put him on a plot, we'll actually put him in a pot. We'll put him in a pot and we'll put him up on a shelf, and he can't thrive. And what God says is this, look, the whole field is mine. The whole field. And if you think that you can separate these things in life out, you're wrong, because the thorns will permeate into your spiritual plot and they'll choke out your spirituality. So the thorny issue here really doesn't ever intend on God having ultimate control over the whole plot of life. And all of us in here too, we all have our thorny issues. We all have those things that come up and we're like, ugh! The pleasures of this life, the pleasures of our own mind, the pleasures of our own conviction are maybe more important than the real God. And I know what our thorny issues are here at Crossroads. That's why sometimes I bring them up like, because I know they're thorny for people. And it's like, no. You probably want me to tell you what they are, don't you? No, you don't. You don't want me to tell you. Because then, actually, I don't want to tell you. Because then when I tell you, then I get emails this week. But I'll tell you. Okay, I'm a glutton for punishment. I'll tell you. I got to give you three examples. Just to make my point, Whenever we'll talk about, and I know we're in all different places in here spiritually, and it's a Beautiful place to do that. That's exactly why we have Crossroads. But that also means that wherever place we are, we need to be open to try to receive what God has for us and really figure it out and seek it with an open heart and an open mind. But whenever I talk about a few things, the thorns come out. Whenever I say Jesus is the way to understand God, not one of many ways that you can dabble in to have a spirituality of your choice, but Jesus is central to understanding the real God. Or when I talk about homosexuality, or if I talk about the fact that God isn't necessarily Republican and God definitely isn't American. People, oh, what are you talking about there? You know, now some of you right now are like, you're like, oh, this is the reason I brought these up, because you're going, what does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? What was he saying? Was he? And you're like, all you can think of is, I gotta find out what he meant by that. Is he saying this? Is he saying that? I'm just bringing it up to say that's what a thorny issue does. The thorny issue makes you go, whoa, if you don't believe or think what I believe and think, or if the Bible doesn't believe what I believe and think, then therefore that is wrong. And what it says, you're preserving your thorny issue patch. And the thorns choke out all that what God would ultimately have to do in your life, because we love the thorn more than we love God. The fourth person that Jesus talks about is the wholehearted hearer. And this is what we see here, the wholehearted hearer. This is a person who has a noble and good heart. That's exactly how Jesus describes it. Let's take a look at how Jesus describes this type of person. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word. They retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the person, when the seed comes upon them, they hear it, they retain it, and what you see on the surface is what you see beneath the veneer. This is the condition of heart that God delights in. This is the condition of heart that we all want to have, where there's just this soft, fertile ground where what God gives us, we can process, and it takes root, and it's consistent, and it doesn't change, and it's spiritually vibrant and healthy to reproduce whatever kind of information or truth that God gives us. This is the wholehearted hearer. Now, what I used to do when I first started reading this story that Jesus gave, and actually, I think when actually the first time I taught this, the first time I taught this in an environment, I think I was like 19 or something like that. And whoever I taught when I was 19, I really messed them over, because I taught something that was definitely not true. Because what I used to say was, all right, now that we understand who we are, we have to really go out and we have to really change ourselves. So we have to go out and we've got to break up our rock. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to actually go out and we've got to actually start changing ourselves. Well, not really. Not really. Let's take a look at Colossians 1, 9 to 10 that talks about this. Colossians 1, 9 to 10. And it says this in the New Testament portion of the Bible. It says, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. God fills us. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. How do we grow in the knowledge of God? How do we please God in every good way? We do it because God comes inside us and fills us. Who's the farmer in the parable that Jesus tells? God is. We are not the farmer. You know what we are? We're dirt. No piece of dirt, that's good for your self-esteem, isn't it? No piece of dirt has ever gone out and changed itself. No piece of dirt ever has. And I used to get all worked up about, how do I have this defining spiritual moment that just changes me, or how do I change somebody else? Actually, this is the way I used to look at this whole thing. I used to go, well, there's a before and an after. And the before is when, you know, someone doesn't know God and someone's really messed over and someone, has these traditional terms, like someone is lost or someone needs evangelized or somebody, whatever. And then there's this defining moment. Maybe that's I walked an aisle at a Billy Graham crusade, or I watched somebody on television and made something click, or I sat down with somebody at breakfast and they made some spiritual map on a napkin. I said, oh, that's it, ding. Or I said some, quote, sinner's prayer. I had this defining moment where I came forward to church. I had this defining moment. And then there's after. There's all the things I do to now grow spiritually, or what's called, quote, in some circles, quote, discipleship, or all these things that happen. And so you fix that on, okay, where is the point? What's the point? And I just don't think this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is in the process of changing us. And there's actually this intermediary activity where we're seeking at the same time we're growing. There's this intermediary point, this thing where you're not really sure exactly, all right, when is it? When did God start changing me? Was it when the first time I started to think about God? Was it the first time I heard about God? Was it the first time I actually sang in church? Was it the first time I did this or that? There's this intermediary thing. And God is the farmer. Why? Because no farmer can go out and instantaneously change all of this stuff. God works us in the midst of process. And so if we can understand that we are dirt in God's eyes, that we are land, then we'll understand that God works us the same way a farmer works us. And if you understand how God is going to work you, then you'll be much more inclined to participate in the process and be patient. So let's talk about how God, as the farmer, creates a whole heart. How does he do that? First thing is time. There's time. God uses time. It's not some instantaneous, okay, I made a decision or signed a card. It's time. God works time. Any way a plot of land or a field is cultivated or recultivated, it takes time for that to happen. One of the displays out in the atrium by one of our artists is called InstaFaith. I was kind of looking, I was kind of humorous. I thought it was humorous. Some people might actually think it's literal. And what the person is doing is kind of doing a tongue-in-cheek thing of, how wouldn't it be nice if I could just go and buy something and have InstaFaith? I just go and someone gives me the perfect thing to unlock my mind and I'm, boom, I have faith. I love God. Faith, a relationship with God, is not an instant thing. It's an ongoing process. And any field is worked in the midst of process. When we reduce God to some simple being, we reduce him and reduce our spiritual life. God works in the process of time. The second thing that a farmer or God will use is God will use the sun, or more specifically, heat. He'll use heat. I don't know if you've been following on the PGA Tour, all of the debate over whether or not there should be golf carts allowed for people who are handicapped, or specifically on the senior tour, whether or not the senior PGA Tour golfers should be able to use golf carts as well. And Arnold Palmer decided to weigh in on this. I love what he said. He said this. So when you start complaining about the heat and humidity, the heck with that. Just go home, sit in front of the TV, and have a beer. You know, he's saying, hey, look, if you want to golf, it means that there's heat. If you want to golf, it means you're outside under the sun. There's no air conditioning. He's saying that's inextricably linked with golf. And when you want to grow spiritually, you realize that heat is inextricably linked to spiritual growth. God beating down on me. Sometimes we feel like there's a magnifying glass right over top of us. We'll sit in a place like this maybe, and we feel like God has a magnifying glass over top of us, and we're like sweating, like, oh, everyone's looking at me, you know. No, God is bringing the heat on you. Whenever God grows you, the sun comes and the heat comes. And we cannot separate spiritual growth from discomfort. We cannot separate spiritual growth from his intense glare and the heat that comes down upon us. And the old saying goes, you know, if you don't like the heat, get out of the kitchen. Or you could also have said, if you don't like the heat, get out of the spiritual formation laboratory. Because the way God spiritually forms us is heat. Makes us feel uncomfortable, but it's to our benefit. Third thing that the farmer does, and again, I'm just talking about this because if you understand this, how God works, you might be able to be more patient while God does these things in your life. Third thing is rain. Rain. Rain also pain. Rain and pain, the thing that God uses. Hebrews 6:7 says that land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. In other words, people that drink in the rain or the pain falling on it, produce a crop, incredible things that start popping up in their life that is a blessing for others. You know, when you want God to work on you or you're up for God working on you, you will feel rain. And sometimes you go, that's rain. And sometimes you go, some other water's coming on me. I can't quite identify it, but I feel like something else is coming on top of my head. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what I'm saying. I won't go into that anymore. But, you know, it's hard for you to feel. You feel, wait, is this rain or is this something else that's coming on me? Because I don't like this. God uses pain. He does. He uses pain and difficulty to come into our lives. And one of the ways that you know that God is doing something in you is when you start to reinterpret the rain and pain coming on your life. A friend of mine this last week has a brand new condominium. He's been putting a lot of time and money in to burn. at least smoke damage all throughout the whole thing. And he told me that he got up in the middle of the night, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he got up and he called 911, he rushed some stuff in the house, and got out, the house is filled with smoke, and he's sitting outside on the stoop waiting for the fire trucks that are coming. You know what he's thinking? He's going, God, what are you doing right now? God, are you trying to tell me that maybe I've been too attached to my condominium and I need to rethink about how I'm allocating my resources? What are you telling me? And I don't know if God's telling him that or not. I have no idea, but here's what I know. This person's relatively young in their spiritual growth. And the fact that that's the first thing you start to think about is when you know that the farmer is doing his work on you and you're participating in the process. Because what most people do when that happens, they go, oh God, this sucks. What is this about? This brand new. Oh, if you love me so much, why are you burning this brand new thing that, you know, that I did? Because for you, for the soft crust person, you're okay with God so long as everything is perfect. But man, a little too much hurricane comes your way, then God's the bad guy. Okay, but when you are fertile soil and you know what God is trying to do and you realize that God is trying to change you, you process things differently. And it doesn't mean you like it, by the way. It doesn't mean you cheer about it. But you go, God, what are you doing? And you start to automatically think these things. You don't have a to-do list that says, think about God today. You don't have a to-do list that says, love God more today. You don't have a to-do list that says, pray for 5 minutes in the next 3 hours. You don't have that in the to-do list. You find out that it starts to naturally happen because the farmer, God, is working you. I'd be remiss if I didn't connect some of the dots of the learnings we had from last week with our crazy campaign kickoff. Again, we kind of did that last week and it goes underground. You're not going to hear about it much for the next couple months. But I'd be remiss if I didn't connect some dots on some of the learnings. It's fascinating how people would sit in here and have the exact opposite reaction to the exact same information that they were hearing. One person I talked with said, you know, I just don't like anybody telling me what to do. I just don't like that. I like anyone telling me what to do. And as that person was telling me that, I knew that God was doing something in their life because what they were saying was, I realize that though I'm angry, though I don't like someone telling me what to do, I realize that that's not a good character quality because God tells us what to do all the time. And I'm realizing that my reaction here is not all that great, and I'm realizing that I need to change in that. That person's realizing that the rain's coming and God is sifting and he's toiling and he's working. One of the emails I had this last week, I think it was 5 people sign the same email. I never had that before. I had 5 people send me an email really upset with what happened last week. And one of the things they said was, isn't church to be a place of solace and comfort? And I said, no. No, it's not. Church is a place of spiritual growth. Church is a place where we worship God. And sometimes what God does is he uses solace and comfort to grow us. Sometimes God uses solace and comfort. And sometimes God uses challenge and intensity. He uses both. He uses both in his field. And when you understand that God has a number of different environmental conditions at his disposal, he could bring us the tropics. He could bring us San Diego. He could bring us Antarctica. He can bring us whatever he wants. When you realize he'll bring those different environmental conditions for our good, you'll be more patient and you'll yield the crop that God ultimately wants to yield in our life. And the fourth thing that the farmer will use and God will often use is brokenness. You know, when God has to do his work on this kind of person, he's got to bring out the rototiller. He's got to bring out the heavy machinery. He's got to bring out the pulverizer, pile driver, the whatever, you know, and just start grinding and working it out. And actually what happens too is you realize that when God actually works some of that pain in your life, in some ways you feel more pain. Like I can identify in my life, I can identify times when I was all of these places. And let me tell you, when you're like this, there's actually some real benefits to it. Because when someone criticizes you or gives you grief, it's like a BB off a tank. It doesn't bother you at all because it bounces around, whatever, you know. But then as God starts breaking you up, things stick with you. Things stick with you. You go, ow, ow, and ooh, you know. Because things stick with you. Golf balls bounce off you on this, it doesn't bother you. Golf balls stick in you and stay. you know, on this. And you start to understand that this is a positive thing because God's been softening and moistening and working because God wants to break us so we can retain and have a full root system that goes throughout the entirety of our life. Down these paths that Jesus would point to, and down these roads, they would often see Roman conquering generals with their troops coming back from war. And all the people would come down by the side of the path, by the side of the roads, and they would cheer. They would cheer these Roman generals. They were like gods to them. And they would say, "You are awesome, you are awesome, you are awesome. Woo, woo, you are all, you are the man, you are awesome. You are divine, you are the man." Of course, the Roman generals would love to hear this. They'd be on their chariot with, you know, flowers being thrown at them, just soaking it up. Now, the really great generals, the great ones, the ones who were smart, they would take one of their slaves and they would put the slave beside them on the chariot. And the slave, while everyone was yelling, "You're great, you're awesome," the slave would be saying in their ear, "You're mortal. You're mortal." Because the Roman general wanted to be reminded that he was not divine, that his life would come to an end. And as soon as he started thinking higher of himself than he should, that would be the demise of his ability to manage his troops well. You know what God would do to all of us in here today? As we walk out of these aisles and we walk along the paths and roads of our life, I would hope that God plants something right beside us in the midst of us telling ourselves or other people telling us, "You're great, you're awesome, you're gifted." That God would say, "You're dirt. You're dirt. I care about you very much, but you're dirt. I am working you. It's not about you. It's about me working in you to bring you to be the kind of refreshing, healthy, vital crop and plot of ground that you can be." Let's pray right now and go before God. I'm going to invite the band out to help us in this exercise. Let's pray right now and go before God and ask Him to bring His voice to us. Let's just bow our heads. God, if we haven't been able to identify it already, would you please right now tell us which plot of land we represent? Who are we? Who are we really? Not who we want to be, but who are we really? Who are we? Where are we? Just as our ears have been open, would you now open our eyes to our own heart? Together right now. One of the scriptures that we read earlier talks about how those with fertile soil and wholeheartedness say to God, "God, I just want to please you. I want to bear the fruit of my life that you want to bear in my life." So let's just say, if that's where you are right now, let's just sing this to God and say, "God, I want to please you."